Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
What was the rebranding between HempFest to the New Hampshire Cannabis Freedom Festival? What was the motivation there?
There really wasn't a motivation. There was a factor, and I think one is business and the other is citizenry. And there was a difference between a business practice that was about business, and then there was a practice of citizens and empowering citizens to have their voices heard, and then followed through with people whose word was the word.
So I like the new name. I think even though it's longer, it's a little more complicated, it's more pure, right? Like, we're talking not just about hemp. There's a lot of people who last year had plenty of cannabis at this this festival.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly. There was.
They were doing it right openly, and I thought it was wonderful.
Like right now.
Yeah, exactly. You are about to strike up a bowl right there, right here at the LRN.FM.
No, I am. Live.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
Holy.
And it's, you know, not that I have any legal training, but, you know, it's just that, you know, CYA legal thing within me to, you know, make sure things are allegedly or reportedly, because you don't want to wind up, you know, making a factual.
I'm not worried about it. This is the news, Daryl.
On Saturday, it's Super Session Saturday. I mean, Saturated Saturday. It's called Saturated Saturday because we have a lot of Grateful Dead music going on that day. And the Main Dead Project, Barely Dead Project, there's so many different bands playing on Saturday.
It's overwhelming.
American Mixer, Annie and the Water, Free Volt, Super Nothing. There's quite a few different bands that are playing on Saturday, and they're all regional and national bands. I want to give a little credence to Free Volt and Michael Bernier. It's another local radio station that they have, Evolvement Radio, that does a lot of local and regional bands, and they do a lot of good stuff like you guys do for the music industry. And Michael Bernier is an MC around the region and does a lot of MCing for different events around New England, and he's shares a lot of love, and I can't wait to have him on our stage. And I just want to thank him for advertising and getting the word out for New Hampshire's freedoms and cannabis in New Hampshire.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really great people who are involved in this movement up here, and it's a diverse movement, people who really care about not just cannabis, but I think freedom. That's the other part of this rally. So there's cannabis, and then the Cannabis Freedom Rally, so the freedom's the other aspect.
Bingo.
Here. And we're big fans of that.
Yep, I am too. And quite frankly, you know, if those that don't know, you know, I don't like divulging any political aspirations or what my political positions are, because I'm really quite open. And I've been watching the LRN and listening to UEN for a number of years, you know, good, right, wrong, indifferent, eye-opening, shocking. But what it was, it helped me open up my eyes to what really freedom meant and what liberty represented and how we could create a free state.
You guys are new to Bitcoin. You just came on board, what, 3 weeks ago?
Well, the event came on 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I was actually introduced to it 3 years ago. Initially, I think when they were kicking it off, somebody came to me and said, "Hey, man, you got $1,000, man? If you give me some seed money, we're going to do this." And I was like, "What? Get out of here. You guys are nuts." And then Bitcoin started doing its thing, and I kept watching and just kind of peeking at it. And the events kicked off this year, and I came to you, and I said, "Ian, what's up with the Bitcoin, man? Come on, really break it down." And you were like, "Well, Rick, it's pretty complicated, but here, look, I'm going to send you $5. Just take it and do this. And okay. Got my phone set up, got the Bitcoin, and the $5 hit. It was like, wow, cool, I got $5. $5 went to 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55. It went way up. It was up to $117, and then it came back down.
It's a little exaggerated, but yeah,
no, it went way up.
It did go up. Yeah.
Now, I was just mentioning that, and I wanted to go on my page to show you how much it's gone up. And I was really impressed by that. And I mentioned it to some people who I had mentioned it to originally. And I said, you know, I had you to put that $100,000 in there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, if you'd put $100,000 in.
You had been sitting really, really good.
I remember last year the owner of the park was worried that it was going to get trashed. Right? Oh, dirty hippies, blah, blah, blah. No. hippies come and clean up after themselves.
That's
right.
Correct.
Well, you know, I think he was rightly a little concerned because the Porcupine Freedom Festival, people would have to spend like 2 extra days cleaning up after you know, libertarians that claim to be all about personal responsibility.
I think what's really quite neat to say is, like, you know, people, you know, classify people and, you know, hippies, you know, what are hippies? People who love ecology and they love the earth. And they like to recycle, and they don't throw things on the ground. They don't even throw cigarette butts. They put them in pouches, and they carry them off and put them in receptacles and garbage cans. It's quite something here. If you walk around the festival, you won't see anything on the ground. Someone's going to pick it up. It's an amazing thing. They share the love of family here. It's quite impressive.
The owner told me that that you know it was cleaner than it started.
Yeah,
and that's, I think, the goal.
He mentioned that last year online. He was actually happy with the way that the facility was left, and I was really proud of that. You know, we really do take our hard effort at letting everybody know that it isn't cannabis and it isn't the drug war that they placed upon us. It's a human being, and it's a life, and their life is valuable.
Yeah.
And it's not a crime. There's no victim. It's a personal choice, and if it's for their health and well-being, the government shouldn't be involved in that whatsoever.
When did you start? Because I know this is like, you know, there were 3 years of Hemp Fest. When did you get involved in the organizing of that?
The original year. I got involved in the original year. I saw a Facebook page come up that they were looking for VIP tents, and I volunteered 3 of the tents for the first festival. And they brought them out, set them up. I came out to see the event. And I'd never been to a festival, let alone anything that had to do with cannabis festivals.
Really?
Never. I've only been to concerts, okay. But not in these, you know, camping out, sleep over 3 or 4 day things. Never been to anything like that. So I was really eager, and we went there, and it became what I thought it was going to be. And it was like, they could have done so much better for cannabis. My heavens. And I met with Tom there. He thought me for the VIP. Thank you very much, Mr. Nye. Thank you for doing what you do, and so on and so forth. And then after the festival, I saw him and said, you know, you could do a lot better. He goes, you should help me. And I said, I won't be doing that. But about 3 months into the following year, he kept bugging me all year, please, Mr. Nye. And I was really working hard in advocacy then. I was really pumping into it. And Tom reached out, please, Mr. Nye, I really need your help, man, please. And then I said, he caught me at the right time. I said, listen, Buster, you don't know me from Adam, but I'm going to tell you something. I'll take that mud puddle event of yours and make it one of the best in the nation. He laughed. He goes, that takes about 10 years. Well, by the time the third year rolled around, we were actually nominated by Cannabis Now as one of the top 8 business cannabis events in the nation.
Yeah.
Some of you know, and a lot of you don't. I'm very fortunate when it comes to being the son of a dignitary or a politician or an ambassador, or let alone the director general of the embassies of the United States. So I'm really fortunate to have grown up around embassies and people around the world who have a lot of political power and acumen. And I just chose not to be like them.
Yeah.
I didn't like what they were doing, and I thought it was an injustice. And as I learned racism and I learned what was happening with the drug war, it's really, I think, how God called me, because I'm a compassionate man and I have a really big heart. And I think that that's what I was designed to do. I have a feeling inside me that God said, hey, buddy, this is your mission. You're going to do this. And you're going to do it well, and you're going to do the best that you can, and that's going to help change lives. You're going to change the social economic structure of New Hampshire. You're going to help change the humanity of New Hampshire, and you're going to leave a mark on New Hampshire that not everybody will recognize, but those of us that do will go back in the analogs of history and go, wow, man, Ian, Daryl, Rick, Joe, John, all these people that have been part of it.
I don't do it for recognition, but you're right. I mean, certainly what you've done and what everybody here is a part of is historic, especially in a place like New Hampshire, which is already the number one most free state. You're getting up there in your years. You probably don't want to run
it anymore.
You probably don't want to run this thing anymore. I mean, it's you've owned this place a long time.
Yeah, I've been here for 20 years.
Two decades
we've been here. Most campground owners don't last that long.
and this isn't most campgrounds. This is the largest campground, as I understand it, in the state of New Hampshire.
The largest of this sort, with a resort and the motels.
And that's only what you've developed, right? Because the acreage itself is actually much larger.
There's 117 acres here. We probably use 40 of them.
Wow. And this place you told me once could fit like, 3,000-4,000 people maximum?
We can put about 3 to 3,500 total in here.
Yeah, so Daryl, I mean, you remember Pork Fest. the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I think they peaked at like 1,700 maybe, their best year.
Somewhere around there.
Something like that. So there still was room to grow there if, you know, if somebody could do it. That's a big festival.
Yes.
But certainly, I mean, there are festivals that that exist like that. But this is a great festival. Rogers Campground, an amazing location.
We have probably close to a 60% return each year as far as campers are concerned.
A 60% return, meaning they come back they year come after back, year?
Well, they either come back year after year or they come back
a year
from previous visits.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay, but 60%, that's actually really good.
Oh, it's tremendous. Yeah. I mean, the thing that hurts us the most probably right now is the Canadian dollar.
Well, now how is that?
We used to get an awful lot of people. They come from, say, Toronto or Montreal or someplace like that.
Yeah.
We're halfway to New Brunswick, and they stop here. This is our place, and we used to have an awful lot of them. And with the dollar being, you know, a dollar was 75 cents now or something like that, it's not very favorable to them. They're not traveling like they used to.
Well, so how is it hurting you, accepting the Canadian dollar? That's what I was
saying. No. What he's saying is people traveling from Toronto to New Brunswick, both of those Canadian places, but it's quicker to travel across
the
United States. If the dollar, if the value of their money is down compared to our money, they're not stopping in the United States. They'll stop in Canada because their dollar gets them more.
They're not stopping at all. That's hurting you.
I think a lot of them are not traveling. They're just not making that trip anymore.
You were here last year as well, if I'm recalling correctly.
This is my third year speaking.
Well,
I spoke 2 years at Hempfest, and this is, of course, the first year for this one.
Are you on today? When's your gig?
There's no time scheduled.
Just going to grab you
Rick
and say.
Rick said, whenever you feel like talking, just let me know.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Well, I was hoping for a big crowd, so I've been holding back a little bit.
Today might be good.
I'm thinking so.
It was definitely a slow start yesterday, at least as far as the stage area during the bands at night, which, you know, there was a great Tool cover band called Schism that really did an awesome job last night. But the nice thing about it is the music's loud enough that you can hear it pretty much anywhere, which is kind of, you know, it's not good for the bands because every band wants to play to an audience. They want to play to a large crowd if they can. That's part of the energy and the excitement of doing a live performance. But there were a lot of people here yesterday. I would say, like, just walking by our booth, we're doing this Operation Politically Homeless, which we described previously. It's a libertarian outreach project. And yesterday we had 38 people take the quiz.
Yes. Which I think is really good. And again,
for
this
a slow
is my
day.
First time doing the Politically Homeless.
Yeah, I don't know how many. I've probably done it 100 times.
But, you know, it seems, especially for the number of people that are here, it seems like a really good percentage of people that, you know, walked by while
a good percentage,
taking the quiz.
I would say super majority, perhaps. What's it like being a Liberty guy? Because you were one of the top, I believe, A-rated Liberty reps by the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. What's it like being a Liberty guy in the Republican Party?
Lonely.
Is it really?
No.
There's a bunch of Free Stater types
up
in there, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of Republicans that, you know, we share 60, 75% of our views, and then, you know, it's like cannabis is one we may depart on, and I can't count on their vote there, but if I could count on it for constitutional carry, I'll work with them.
And that worked this year. We got the constitutional carry. I think we mentioned that on yesterday's show. We were going down like a laundry list of some of the really good political success stories from this year.
We've got decrim, although I don't recall when it takes effect, if it's already
September
done.
September 16th. So we've got about kind of 2.5 weeks.
Well, it would be insane for police to be messing with people at this point. But
you wouldn't be surprised.
Them, yes. Yeah.
It would be kind of insane.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But, you know, look at Colorado and Washington. There were people getting busted for, you know, like possession and sales up until like the day before the legalization.
I believe that.
That's insane.
They're still getting busted after the fact.
True.
We just had a headline the other day. You know, they're still going after anybody who doesn't have a license. Glenn, when did you end up moving up here and kind of what's your story?
I moved up from New Jersey in 2010. I was just, you know, tax of death, gun regulations, you know, are horrible.
That's a big change between Jersey and here.
I saved $2,200 just a year just in insurance.
Wow.
Auto insurance.
Wow.
Because there's so many, I guess, terrible drivers in New Jersey that they have to charge high rates because there were so many wrecks. But
well, plus New Jersey is, you know, one of those states like 48 others that mandates auto insurance coverage. So when, you know, the right. state mandates something, insurance companies know, oh, we can charge a little bit more because
guaranteed business.
What are you going to do?
Oh, kind of go to another company.
You know, go to another company that's going to charge you high rates because they know that they're getting your business.
Yeah.
New Hampshire is, I believe, the only state that does not require insurance coverage.
That, well, I know they don't. I don't know if it's
there
the only one.
There probably aren't that many of them.
There might
sure.
be one other, yeah. but I'm pretty sure it's the only one that doesn't mandate insurance, auto insurance.
But yet plenty of people have insurance. In fact, I believe similar right. rates to the states where it's mandated.
Right, and I've also seen things that say that New Hampshire drivers use their seatbelt at a higher rate than surrounding states, even though surrounding states mandate seatbelt usage, New Hampshire
That's
does
right.
not.
That's absolutely right.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Sometime earlier this year, when you were restricted, and apparently all state reps are restricted from recording video inside, is it just the area where the 400 reps gather to
right, reps,
vote?
Reps Hall.
Okay, so you can record inside the state house, but not in Reps
I
Hall?
I can record. I could leave and go up into the gallery and record.
But if you're on the floor as a state
right,
rep...
I can only take photos.
Right.
And that's what I was rules. Doing.
You were taking photos. You've got a nice camera, a nice DSLR
right.
camera.
And I've got a nice lens on it, and I had a little boom mic on it. And a lot of it I can control from the back, like where the focus points is, you know. So, and then I would hold it up for a long period of time mm-hmm. to make sure, that, you know, I take a lot of shots, but I try to get them where they're tongue's not hanging out of their face and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So because I held it there for so long, Speaker Jasper said that was proof positive I was videoing. I offered to let him someone he chose to examine my camera. That was no good. And then he even got on me.
Because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Exactly. But then I took the offending camera and I took it and put it back out of the room. So then I said, actually, my committee was testifying, and Doug, one of my committee members, I want to take a photo of him. Next thing, he calls me out again. I said, what are you going to take my iPhone away? Everybody in here's got one of those. I let freedom be my guide. If it's not hurting me, then so be it.
It's
I mean,
your
I
business.
I don't have an issue with it.
Exactly.
Now, we mentioned earlier this legalization bill.
That was retained.
656.
That you had that.
This was your bill. You were a sponsor on this bill?
Yes, I'm prime sponsor okay. on this bill. Yeah, that's the only one. I didn't do any in my first term.
Wow.
I would rather repeal bills. There's too many already, in my opinion. Yeah, too many restrictions. So
there were the committee hearings earlier this year. The committee chose not to take an immediate action, so they're holding the bill over until next year.
That's the Criminal Justice Committee?
Yes.
Okay.
So what exactly does that mean as far as, you know, holding it over? Will there be another committee hearing at some point next year, or can they just say, well we already had the hearing last year?
No, it'll come up this year. It could be September or October, but they're going to hear it again because they retained it. So they didn't really give it the full hearing and, you know, the run the full gamut.
Mm-hmm.
And even still, it's got to go to the floor no matter win, lose, or draw. So we can fight there as well, even
so
if it comes out with a bad recommendation.
So, you know, the big concern, I think, from a lot of liberty lovers about legalization, because it's going to come to New Hampshire at some point. The question is when and what's it going to look like?
Right. Colorado, they passed their thing and called it regulate cannabis like wine, mm-hmm. although it's not regulated like wine because there's not a limit on how many bottles of wine you can buy, but there are limits on... how much cannabis you can purchase, yeah. but yeah. And, you know, I believe it is, you know, a branch of the Liquor Commission. Mm-hmm. I think same thing in Washington. We don't know what Maine and Massachusetts are going to do yet because yeah. they keep pushing off, you know, implementation.
Well, that's because they have to take baby steps because they can't show how idiotic they are in one fell swoop.
Yeah. Well, they're so cowardly. I mean, politicians are so notoriously without any kind of spine, so it's got to be really frustrating to have to work with these people.
Oh, to hear somebody that you're fighting a Democratic senator that wants to take your – you're only getting a couple of bucks a month from off your electric bill from Reggie. He wants to take that. He says it's a cup of coffee. And he's going to help these people over here, and he's going to pay for some of the business electric to try to keep them in the state. Well, how about just let's not take that money in the first place, yeah. and they'll have it to spend on the electric company and the products in this state.
So it sounds like you've got a good bill. It's better than the one that that was proposed this year.
Well, I've talked to a lot of people that there's probably about 25 of us that worked on this thing, and they all say it's the best bill that anything has. They say it's going to be way better than Maine's. I don't know if that much about Maine's.
Cindy, you actually came up to us last night as we were kind of packing up the booth, and you were talking about some of the experiences you've had in this movement in New Jersey. And we've, on Free Talk Live, we've had New Jersey Weed Man on the show a number of times in the past. He's been a huge activist down there, and you obviously know him personally.
Yeah, I was friends with him for about 25 years.
Wow.
You're
still friends with him?
I'm friends with them, but not real personal friends.
Okay.
Like, I was helping with the patient's lounge
at his
joint.
Shop.
Yeah. I helped open it.
That was in Trenton, right?
That was in Trenton. And then he was doing some risque stuff. I mean, he put the ventilation system to blow out all the smoke at the town hall. You know, because town hall's right across the street. Yeah. And it's Trenton State Police right across the street. And, you know, he didn't really care if you were patient or not. So he was just kind of, like I said, doing some risque stuff that I just wasn't.
That's the kind of thing I like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there was another activist in Philly, Poe.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah,
and A. Poe. Great guy, by the way. Personal friend of mine. I'm the grandmother to his two children, Caligula and Helena. They're cats. And they are his cats, but his children. That story I find even more interesting.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we'll talk about the Weed Man a little bit, but
sure.
he is in there for, like, tampering with witnesses.
Which is ridiculous.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.